At the time of this writing, roughly 50 people had to die at an Orlando nightclub because one adherent to a particularly intolerant and sectarian strain of Islam was allegedly offended not so long ago when he ostensibly witnessed two gay men expressing affection. This is a really impossible thing to wrap the mind around, a senseless carnage. While I share the revulsion expressed by those in media paid to dictate to us how to feel and what to think, I don't share their conclusions as to the problem and how to solve it. This is not a matter of keeping guns out of the hands of the Omar Mateens, and it isn't about formulating a kind of global group counseling approach to get ISIS sympathizers to be more tolerant. What we need is to first view the problem in its historical context. We can't take issue with the leaves without first understanding the trees and the forest in which the leaves arise. Point of fact, intolerance is not a value indigenous to Islam. Consider at the time of the Prophet of Islam, the first generation of Muslims were driven out of their hometown of Mecca and subjected to incredible cruelties. Years later, when a vast army of Muslims returned to Mecca and entered the city with almost no bloodshed, Muhammad made clear that there was to be no retribution, not even against those who had defiled the body of his own beloved uncle Hamza. The Muslims were not to return cruelty for cruelty. In the generations after the death of the Prophet, as Islam spread, it swept in the most peaceful epoch in that region. By all accounts, under Muslim rulers, Christians and Jews practiced their own faiths unmolested, without forced conversions. There was virtually no strife. The Muslim government of Jerusalem was the most tolerant that city had ever experienced. Not until Christian crusaders came did that tolerant orientation change. Christian fighters subjected the entire region to brutal atrocities, leaving a wake of devastation, death, and burning books. Those Christian conquerors introduced their Muslim captives to the idea that might makes right, that conquerors should rule the conquered, mercilessly imposing themselves upon the defeated in a ruthless and unforgiving way. Christian invaders introduced their Muslim subjects to the new norm of forced conversions and inquisitions, the new norm of absolute intolerance. The lesson stuck. Muslim regimes after the Crusades never demonstrated the same tolerance as the regimes prior to the Crusades, and for a practical reason, the wolves were always at the door. Christian and Jewish minorities in their midst were potential agents of subversion for their ruthless enemies, agents to be neutralized. As a general rule, it only takes one player to place a pistol on the poker table, and the days of a friendly card game are over. We fast forward to the modern era, we've got an ostensibly Christian invader in the First Oil War, obliterating a Muslim nation without provocation, bombing water treatment facilities and the foreseeable result of making children die. We've got a decade of sanctions to kill 500,000 children under the age of 6, and Secretary of State Madeleine Albright saying that their deaths were the acceptable cost of ousting Saddam Hussein. We've got the humiliation of bases throughout the region to facilitate bombers up the baby killers. We've got billions of dollars funding an illegal colonizer state of Israel, imposing an apartheid of religious and ethnic intolerance. As a general rule, when somebody else puts a pistol on the table, pretty soon everyone has a pistol. If you can't beat them, join them. So these are all the factors contributing to an ever more distorted, more intolerant strain of Islam, one that aspires to be as brutal, as cruel, as sectarian, and as intolerant as the forces arrayed against it. Let's not forget how our Nobel Prize-winning president took out a third world wedding party with a drone, leaving more casualties than Omar Mateen left in Orlando. In this context, the problem is not the Omar Mateens or the guns available to them. The problem is a hyper-insensitive and hyper-intolerant atmosphere fueled principally today by U.S. gunboat democracy. So if we want to prevent the next massacre and the next, and if we want to foster a resurgence of a more peaceful and tolerant Islam, one that's more consistent with its original character, we might have to begin by finding a way to get those Muslim children off the tips of those American swords. Otherwise, this is the new normal, what Malcolm X referred to as chickens come home to roost. And there are still a lot of chickens out there that haven't come home yet. This is anarchist prisoner Sean Swain from the Warren Correctional Institution of Lebanon, Ohio. If you're listening, You are the resistance.
You can write to Sean Swain at Sean Swain, 243-205, Warren, CI, P.O. Box 120, 5787 State Route 63, Lebanon, Ohio, 45036. For updates on his situation, his bid for U.S. president in 2016, and more writings by Sean can be found at seanswain.org.